Thank you for some good singing today, especially that first song. Really, really sang it out, and I appreciate that. The scripture today is taken from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter, which is a wonderful chapter. John chapter 14. And we will begin the reading at the 15th verse and read through verse 29. This is Jesus talking. He said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." And then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Father, as we look at these words, we pray your blessing upon this time. And we pray that you would speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 12 through chapter 17 is very interesting. It's really one long, intimate conversation between Jesus and his disciples. It begins right after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem for the last time. And Jesus now gathers his disciples and begins to speak to them about what's going to take place. He talks about his betrayal, he talks about his arrest, he talks about his torture, and ultimately his death. And then he speaks about his resurrection and even his ascension back into heaven. And of course, this totally blows the disciples away. Even though he's already broached the subject with them, they just cannot compute how their Lord and their friend is going to endure all these things. And so he gently, through these chapters, leads them to understand what's about to happen. And when we get to John chapter 14, it begins, you know, in that familiar way, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." That's the way the chapter begins. But eventually, it's Jesus talking to his disciples, about what to expect and giving them some reassurance. Now, I want you to just pretend with me today that we are part of that inner circle of 12 and that we're listening to Jesus speak to us. And the part that strikes us in all that he's talking here, talking through about his death and all that is going to happen, he said this one phrase, "It's better for you that I go back to heaven." Whoa. "It is better for you that I go back to heaven," he said. And our immediate response is, "No, we want you to stay. We want you to be near us. We want to see more miracles. We want to, you're the Lord, you're our friend. We want more fish dinners by the seashore. We want you to explain more things to us. How can you say it's better for us that you go back to heaven? We want you here, near us, with us." The truth is, we're afraid. Afraid of what's going to happen with the Romans, with the Jews. They hate us. We need you here. We need to hear you, see you, touch you. We need it to be like before. How can you say it's to our advantage that you're going back to heaven? Let me ask you something. Would you like to spend time with Jesus in person? What if it were this week? Clear out the guest room. Try to imagine what it would be like. Jesus spent the next week with you. What would he see? What would he hear? What would he experience? What people would he meet? Would you change any plans that you have now for this coming week? Would you be anxious about it at all? What seat would you give him in the car when you drove him around? The front seat, or would you make him ride shotgun? What would it be like to have Jesus with you for a week? Would there be any embarrassment along the way? And would it be a stressful time for you to have him with me? Wow, that would be absolutely incredible. Introductions to people, my friends, my family, I'd have the privilege of doing that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Would you have questions for him? What would it be like? Well, again, in these chapters, Jesus is giving his disciples this intimate talk to prepare them for death and resurrection and all that, and to just get them in that mindset. And then again, he comes out with this, "It's better for you that eventually I go to heaven. I'll come back to you," he said. "And not just when you die to take you home. I will come back to you, not just to be near you, not just to be with you, but to be in you." Whoa. That's quite a statement. We are actually going past what the disciples experienced when they rubbed elbows with him every day, when they ate with him and listened to him in person. Now, Jesus said, "I will send my Spirit when I get to heaven to be in you forever." and His presence in you will absolutely transform your life. That's what Jesus said. Do you believe it? If so, how has it affected your life lately? The Bible says you're a temple, and the Lord's in His temple. Do you feel Him there? Do you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that He travels with you? That He overhears all of your conversations? That He knows your friends and He knows your enemies? He knows your words, He knows your motives. He knows your deepest and sometimes darkest secrets. He knows when you're happy. He knows when you're anxious. He knows when you're ashamed. He knows your past. There's no separation between you and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to make His home in us, the Bible says. Billy Graham had some interesting things to say about this. He said, if Christians realize that God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit really dwells within our bodies, we would be far more careful about what we eat, drink, look at, or read. True enough. No wonder Paul said, I beat my body and make it my slave. This should drive us to our knees in confession, Billy Graham said. The fact that the Holy Spirit is in us. And sometimes we don't acknowledge His presence. The Bible says we receive the Holy Spirit when we come to faith in Christ. But we have to back up a minute and say, the only way that we can ever come to faith in Christ is for the Holy Spirit to already do a work in us. He's the one who rebirths us. Just as we don't have any control over the birth that brings us into this world, we don't really have any control over the birth that brings us into the realm of Christ, into the family of believers. That's entirely God's domain. He chooses us. He rebirths us by His Holy Spirit and enables us to believe in Jesus, in the cross. And so all praise goes to Him. We can't take any credit. The born-again thing is not a reward for us suddenly coming to faith. We can't come to faith except God brings us to faith by the Holy Spirit. And then He says something interesting. He says, now that you believe in Jesus, now that the Holy Spirit has brought you to this point, I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and make His home with you. Listen to what it says in Luke. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He concludes that little segment by saying this, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit? It's important. Not only does He bring us to faith, but He says, I want you to ask for this gift, and I delight to give it to you. He always keeps His promise. He always gifts the Holy Spirit to those who ask by faith in Christ. Just let that sink in a minute. Again, we have gone past what the disciples experienced. They walked with Him, alongside of Him. They watched Him. They listened to Him. We have Him in here. Always, everywhere we go, life itself is inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our corrector. We can grieve him. We can literally bring tears to the eyes of God inside of us. But we can also delight him. Moment by moment, encounter by encounter, conversation by conversation, day by day, he is in us. And at the end of each day, let me ask you this question. How many times did you consult him? How many times in the day were you consciously aware of his presence? How many times did he influence something you did or didn't do? Were you convicted by him at all during the day? Were you conflicted by him about something maybe you were about to do and suddenly you got that uneasy feeling? And did you say, "Thanks, Holy Spirit, for stopping me in time"? Were you warmed by his presence? Were you softened by it? Were you stopped from doing anything? Maybe awakened, maybe brought up short? At the end of the day, did you thank him for all of the times that he was active in your life? Truth be told, the subject of the Holy Spirit scares us a little bit. Part of that is we just don't know that much about him. We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk about God the Father. We don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Part of it is we're a little afraid of the tongues thing, you know, and the excesses that we've heard about, radical healings and all of these kinds of things. And we're a little skeptical about those kind of things. And so we just sort of push the Holy Spirit off to the side. We just don't know that much about him. And yet Jesus said, "I will send you my Spirit, and it will be our connection. And he will be my gift to you. And we will forever be linked. We will forever be related. We will forever be family because of his presence in your heart. He will be the power by which I give you life now and forevermore." Our scripture today touches on some of these things. It says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate to help you and to be with you forever," it says. "The Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans," he said. "I will come to you, and you will see me. Even though the world doesn't see me, you will know that I'm in you. And because I live, you will also live." He said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them." "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Because the Holy Spirit, the Advocate whom the Father will send, will teach you all things, and he'll remind you of all things that you've learned from past messages and Sunday school classes and from your youth. He'll bring that all back to you when the time is right. And when you have no words, when you don't know what to say, he'll give you the words if you just put yourself in the place of being a helper. The other thing I want to say before we wrap this up, there's so much. We could spend 2.5-3 hours just talking about the Holy Spirit here. I'm only scratching the surface today. But the thing I want to leave with you is that one simple thought. He is not with us by invitation. He is in us. And when He comes in, He promises never to leave. The Bible says that when we pray, and this is in the book of Romans chapter 8, God's Spirit in us combines with us, with our spirit, our voice. When we pray, we can actually hear God in us. And this is just an amazing passage. It says, when we come to God and say, Our Father, when we say, Abba, it's really the Holy Spirit speaking out through us. And if you ever have any periods of doubt in your life, any periods where you just sit back and say, I wonder if I really belong to God or not. I wonder if this is all just a dream. You know what you do to remedy that? You pray. Because you know what? You're hearing the Holy Spirit. You're hearing God speak with your spirit through you. And it's the ultimate confirmation that He is in us. Prayer. Check that out in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Well, I wish I had more time to share things with you, but let me wrap it up by saying, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It is God's greatest gift to you. It is the reason you and I are going to be together a million years from now. Because this source of life is in us. God Himself is in us, and God will never die. And that Spirit, Jesus said, is my gift to you, my forever presence in you. And if you haven't asked for the Holy Spirit, please, please, please do. Because without Him, we're lost. Without Him, we die. With Him, we live no matter what. And live each hour of each day aware of His presence. Talk to Him. Pray with Him. And at the end of the day, thank Him for the things that He has brought to you. Peace, comfort, reassurance, the right words, a stop sign maybe somewhere along the way, a chance to help and be full of grace towards another person. All of those things come from the Holy Spirit, and He deserves the credit. Paul gets the last word today. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. If Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And here's the kicker. Here's the clincher in all of this. Listen. And if the Spirit of Him who raises Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Whoa. That is a promise that we can live with now and forever. All because of Jesus' gift to us. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, today as we approach the table now, we thank you for your presence, not just with us in this worship service, but in us as believers. And we pray that you will, in your still small voice, through the Holy Spirit, speak to us as we put these holy elements into our bodies in faith. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.